Welcome to the Fantasy Football Podcast Extraordinaire. We are getting into our playoff matchups podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun talking about everything with the playoffs now that we finally have an end to the regular season. I am Jim, one of the hosts. Your other host here on the other side of the screen is Kyle. Kyle, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, our Packers are in the playoffs, so I can't complain. We got the seventh seed, so we got a pretty tough matchup ahead, but we're there. That's step one. Yeah, you go after that. How you doing?
Yeah. Coming off maybe one of the biggest fights of my Lions fandom. So, I mean, I'm doing pretty good on the sports front. 14-2 versus 14-2. Lions-Vikings. Lions came out on top. Looked pretty good doing it. Now we get a bye and get to get healthy going into the divisional round. So really excited about that. Hoping to maybe witness my first Super Bowl as a Lions fan. So it's been a good year, and I'm excited for these playoffs.
Yeah, don't blame you. You guys are looking pretty red hot coming in. So props to you. We'll get the bet from last week out of the way right away so I can get this malort down and taken care of. So we bet on the Bears and whether they score over or under 13.5. They got well over that, so I'm just going to throw this one down the hatch quick. You know, the malort's not even bad anymore. Like it's straight up. It's not a punishment shot anymore. It's just
I don't like it. I don't agree. I have not acquired any taste for it yet. Every time I take it, I'm just like, oof.
Yeah, it's definitely grown. I've grown accustomed to it.
You're gonna be like, whether
it's good or bad,
you find it yourself, or
just for the fun of going it, home. I might. Yeah. It's still fun to. You still get the unaware people who don't know what it is. You get fucked with them, like, oh yeah, try this shot.
I mean, I don't really take shots anymore. It's been a long time, but it didn't really seem that much worse than some of the shots that we would have at, you know, Paradise and stuff that weren't my favorites. I mean, if you don't like the taste of it, it's probably going to suck either way.
Yeah, well, it's got a distinct taste, which I would assume most people I do not like.
Yeah, no, it is very much a... You take it, you know exactly what you had.
Didn't realize I was taking shots out of a 1996 Central Division champs.
Awesome. Really cool. Is that part of that stuff that Jackie got where she gave me that cup?
Probably. It's probably like some vintage stuff she got from her mom.
I got a shelf. Sitting up there on the shelf. It's one of my prized possessions. I love that thing. Yeah, it's so cool. I'm happy she gave me that.
Yeah, as soon as I was like, yeah, that's obviously Jim's. Don't know anyone else is going to want that thing.
I think it's cool. That logo is iconic. I mean, that's the logo I remember when Barry Sanders, but when I see that, you know, just gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling of the good times until this year.
It was a long drought there, but yeah, we'll get into the we only had two NFC North matchups this week. Next week, we'll actually have three of them again. But Packers played the Bears, Lions played the Vikings, so all four got crammed into two games. So we'll start with the Packers-Bears this week. Packers lose. Game-winning field goal at the end of regulation. So last play was the same last play as last time we played them, but this time we failed to block the kick and we lost the game. So it's a pretty shitty way to end the season. Bears break their 11-game loss streak to the Packers. So we had them for 5.5 years straight. They finally kicked it. It had to end at some point. Better to end it now and what wound up being a meaningless game. It does suck for the momentum, but it wound up not mattering. Whether we won or lost, we were taking the seventh seed because the Commanders got their win over the Cowboys to secure their spot at number six. Other notes in this game, we had some injuries. Love got hurt. This one sounds like it's minor. LaFleur said after the game, if this game mattered for more than six or seven seed, which they didn't even know if it would matter for that at the time, he would have came back in, but he didn't. But Christian Watson got hurt in this game, so he missed a week with one of his knees hurt, came back this week. Sounds like he tore his ACL in his other knee this week, so he's probably going to miss starting next season. That's a huge bummer. I feel bad for the guy. He just can't stay on the field. And it sucks because she shows those flashes and then just pert and misses so much time. We also Malik Willis also got hurt in this game. So both these injuries sounds like Love banged his elbow on a dude's helmet, and then Malik Willis banged his hand onto a guy's helmet and fucked up one of his fingers. It didn't seem like a big deal until the next play he tried to throw the ball and it just wound up spiking right into the dirt. So I was like, then they kind of went back and showed it. I was like, oh yeah, he looks like he fucked up his pinky or something and he just couldn't hold the ball quite right.
But I remember seeing that on the coverage. They kept
Yeah, and I assume that's what happened, because, I mean, Malik Willis is not the best quarterback in the world. He doesn't throw a ball into the... I mean, it was halfway to the guy. Something was definitely wrong. The ball came out weird. Also, Josh Jacobs, he got benched after the first quarter in this game. So I don't know how hard the Packers were trying to win this game. It sucks to rack up injuries like this when you're not even trying. It really sucks. I wish Christian Watson wouldn't have played. That's a huge bummer.
Yeah, it's always one of those catch 22 situations, because sometimes if you rest too much, then your team comes in unprepared because they're out of practice for a couple weeks. And then there's also just the competitive side of it to keep the team competitive. Like, I don't think Dan Campbell's ever going to be a coach that will bench players in a NFL game. Like, I think he's just going to play to win every game. That's just his mentality. But yeah, it sucks when it happens. I mean, Christian Watson, he was starting to really look like the best receiver in the receiving core. He really gave the Packers another element that I don't think any other receiver on the team can do with his deep speed and height. So like he's so good with Love, because that's Love's game. When they let him be that way, he's such a good downfield passer when he's on, especially. Game, yeah. I mean, it's one of those situations. How competitive were the Packers trying to be? I mean, really, they're just trying to get out of there. I was kind of shocked to see that, you know, there was so many starters in, actually, because I think LaFleur is one of the ones that's been benching starters in those games in the past. So seems like a little different than normal, but maybe they just wanted to see some more out of the offense. Love getting hurt, and then he came back in, right?
No, he never came back in.
Well, I thought he might have
played a couple snaps after it happened, but he was in the sideline. He never came back in. After Malik got his hand thing, Malik stayed in and finished the game still.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I was there keeping caution with him and making sure he's good for the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely is a bummer. It's kind of fun to have those streaks against the opposing team. You can no longer go around saying you own the Bears, at least for a game.
Yeah.
As we would again. If you ever looked at a Reddit NFC meme war, though, they sure definitely had a lot of fun with that one, the Bears fans. It was pretty fun for a couple hours in there.
Yeah. I mean, the Bears have the same divisional record as we do this year.
There was so many beats with the 1-5.
Yeah, it sucked to end the streak. But, I didn't really get the mentality of you're going to shit Josh Jacobs after the first quarter, so you're not trying that hard. But yet you leave every other starter in the game to play. I guess maybe they just wanted to work on the pass game and get the pass game clicking, but then Watson gets hurt and Love goes out, and it's like, well, now that's out the window too. So yeah. It was a weird one. Yeah, it was a weird one. I get pulling Josh Jacobs. It makes sense, but it's weird just to, if not pull everybody at that point, then like you're already announcing, like, we don't really care.
Yeah.
So it's weird to kind of half try and half not try. I didn't get the concept of it, but it doesn't really affect anything. I mean, we still got to go beat the Eagles. It's a tall task we got ahead of us. Yeah. And like you said, it's just a bummer to lose that streak. Five and a half seasons of no losses of the Bears, and it all comes crashing down. But especially, I mean, Rodgers lost some to the Bears too, and he still owned them overall.
Oh yeah, that's insane. Like, until you win next game, you know, it'll go back to that if you guys win again. It's just, it's always fun to see it, you know. I know how the Bear fans feel, you know, because like I've been there. So I mean, you've been in that situation a lot as a fan. You know how, you know, sometimes the underdog finally gets a win. Let them live in their glory for a season, and then it'll probably all come crashing down like it did this year when they got Williams. Everything was great. They're all talking about how they're going to make the playoffs, and then what, after like 10 games, it was like everyone was jumping ship, and it might just be a little bit more of the same for the Bears. I really think there's some talent there, but they need to get the coaching and general manager right. And who are they? The McCaskies or something like that? The owners?
It's the McCaskies.
Those people seem like complete clowns. They were asking him questions about the search, and they asked him, like, do you think the general manager and the head coach should be, like, should they work together or something? Or something along those lines. He's like, no, I don't think so. And it was just kind of like, everyone was just like, why wouldn't you want... It was very weird answers to questions. I don't know. I would have to look back at it. But they just never seem, like, interested in winning and being competitive. They just almost seem more interested in just taking whatever they make from the team and not put much effort into it.
Yeah, but eventually you make less money if you're not ever winning. So
there's some owners that do that, though. That there's not like a drive because the NFL just keeps making so much money. And like they were like the longest owners in the league. So they're not like any kind of like super rich, you know.
Well, they got to be. They're billionaires now. I know every NFL team owner is a billionaire now.
They're just sitting on it, though. Like, they're just literally making profit. It doesn't matter how good or bad that team is. Like, they just don't have to put the effort towards it. So, like I said, there's owners like that all over. Actually, I think the Kansas City owners are supposed to be like that. They just kind of got lucky and got Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid.
I mean, that's,
they say, like, when they do, every year, the players, coaches, and I think staff will say like how good each team's like facilities are, stadium, things like that. And I think the Chiefs are always like the worst, even though they're like the best team in the league. They have like just terrible amenities, all these other things for the players. They're just not nearly on par with the rest of the league. And you know, like Dallas is one of the top ones. So yeah, the Bears are just one of those wonders. I think they just don't really care that much, they win or lose.
Yeah, I guess they got a big city. It's pretty hard to not sell out their stadium. And even they get multiple games a year where they play against Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, where you can just jack the prices up because there's so many fans that are close by that'll drive across the border to come watch at your stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it sucks. It's good. It's nice to be a Packers fan, not have to worry about owners. Being shitty.
Yeah, we had to have our owner die, and then his like 95-year-old wife finally turned down like running the team before we could be successful. So, and we had an owner like that too. I don't think his as much as not wanting to win for William Clayford. I think he was just way too loyal. Like he would hire someone and he wouldn't fire him. I think he just liked the people he hired and he just felt like, you know, they're good for the job. When he hired Matt Millen, there's like a famous quote by Matt Millen where Matt Millen, because Matt Millen used to be like a broadcast booth guy. He had no history at all being in like scouting, anything like that. William Clayford just walks up to him, basically interviews him for the general manager job. Like, hey, you want to be the general manager of the Detroit Lions? But I like what you say on TV. And at that point, Millen even told him like, yeah, I'm not general manager material. And then he's just like, well, how about if I just give you all this money and all this control? And he's like, well, how do you turn that down? So one of those situations where that's the kind of order we used to have, so they definitely can make things a lot worse.
Then you got like the classic, you got Jerry Jones over in Dallas. Like he literally, I mean, he said at one point, he's like, I bought this team so that I could be the GM. I bought the GM position, that's what I spent my money on. I bought this job. It's like, I guess that's good, cool, it's good for you, but at some point, do you not think that somebody else might be better at it than you? Obviously, he's good at a lot of stuff. I don't know what it is to make so much money, but that's a specific thing, just, and it's the game changes.
He bought that team right as they blew up in '90s, and Jimmy Johnson basically made that dude so much money. And then he fired Jimmy Johnson, and from that point on, I think he just sick and tired of Jimmy Johnson, probably tell him to go fuck himself, you know, like didn't agree with things he would do. And then once he got fired, they've never really been good since.
They've been good. They've been good.
They've been good.
Super Bowl teams. I mean, they always seem to have
some big flaw.
Yeah.
They never seem to get over it.
But I feel like they make the playoffs like half the time, so it's not like they're a bad team. Yeah. So it's not like he even does, like, honestly, a bad job as the GM, I guess. Like, because he gets talented players there. Yeah. Sometimes he gets over loyal to his players too, though, and he just signs them for way too much money. And then it's hard to.
I'm sure there's a little bit. He loves the players so much that they might even be able to go to him and they could like probably mess with the coach and stuff, you know, like say, hey, I don't like this about this coach or something like that, especially, you know, like some of these higher profile players he's had back in the past, like Terrell Owens and stuff. Mm-hmm. I could see him kind of like getting in the middle of everything and with those egos and just causing like issues that way too. I feel like he's that kind of owner because the players love him. He's always mm-hmm. so helpful. He does so much for the players. So I wonder if that kind of stuff happens behind the scenes.
It very well might. It's a fine line to run. He's just a, I don't know, dude's a character.
Yeah. Did you see it's the Eagles when he was walking out on the field? One of the Eagle fans is basically like, Jerry, I love what you're doing. Your team's great down there. Keep it up. And he was just like, Jerry just starts laughing, gives the fans some shit back and stuff. And like, everyone on Reddit was kind of giving Jerry props, like, you know, he could be a dick. You know, there's so many owners out there that would probably say, you know, the fan to fuck off or something like that. Jerry just played into it and just he ate it up and loved it. So I do have a soft spot for Jerry. I think he is. I'd hate him if he was my team's owner just because of how he acts. But like, he seems like a pretty cool dude outside of football. And like, he seems to do the ownership thing right on that level. I appreciate that.
I think he does love it. I mean, I think he loves football. He loves the Cowboys and he loves being part of like actually what they're doing. I think he loves being the GM because he's like, if they do good, like I help do this. But on the flip side, it's like doing shit goes wrong, that kind of does fall on your shoulders because you're not, you know, delegating that task to someone that would probably be better at it than you.
Right. Well, and it's like, what happens if you grew up like a super diehard football fan? Like his whole life, he wanted to be a football player, never could, you know, and found like wealth the way he did. And it's like, what would be more fun for a football fan than to literally own your own team and control everything? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I look at him. He's just like some random football fan that bought a team and gets to run it. So I don't know. I can't really yell at him too much for what he does. I mean, I feel like a lot of people in his position would do the same thing. And there's other owners that do it. It's just not as like televised because Jerry Jones likes the spotlight. You know, he mm-hmm. definitely brings that to him too.
Yeah, very true. We do have another matchup to talk about. We can jump into that one. So we had the Lions versus the Vikings. So this one, it actually started off pretty decent. Vikings, they looked good. They had a couple of good, very good stops early on. Their defense was doing good. Lions offense really didn't get rolling until like the fourth quarter. You guys really put them away at that point, but I thought they looked all right for most of the game. There was a couple of big pitfalls they had, namely their offense. Sam Darnold, he straight up ended his MVP campaign in very decisive fashion in this game. He looked terrible. If I had to say whose fault this game was, it definitely falls on his shoulders. Four times they were in the red zone, and zero times they got touchdowns. Three of those four times they were within the 10-yard line. They went for it on fourth down one of those times, didn't get it. It was, yeah, I don't know, Sam Darnold's big game, and he did not show up. I really hope for his sake that he plays well in the playoffs. He's had a fantastic season. And two really bad games at the end of the year could really cost him a shitload of money right now, in my opinion. Because up to this point, someone was paying that guy $50 million a year next year. And now, yeah, I don't know. You end the season like that. You end the regular season like that. If you go to the playoffs and just get, if you look bad again and get bounced by the Rams, that's a huge difference maker. That makes you look like Dak. Dak just got paid a lot, and it didn't turn out well for the Cowboys. So I'm curious how that'll play out for Sam Darnold over there. They had zero touchdowns. Lions, their defense, they had Anzalone?
Sounds like a pasta. Anal zone.
The anal zone, yeah, that's right. Anal zone was back, and their defense looked great. I mean, it was a bend, not break defense, I guess, because like I said, the Vikings got into the red zone four times, but they could not cash it in. The line stopped them every single time they got down there, so good on them. the Lions, their offense, it looked great as usual. Like I said, the Vikings did slow them down a little bit early on, but once they got rolling, they kept rolling. I think the Vikings were kind of feeling defeated in the fourth quarter at that point because they were down by a bit there, getting stopped, but getting held to field goals all game. And Lions really took over. But yeah, Lions looked great. Good game to have for them rolling into their bye. Get more rest, get another player or two back off of back onto the roster. Things are looking up for them. I think they're probably the favorites in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl right now. If I had to guess, I didn't actually look, but they'd almost have to be after a performance like that against another, what was it, 15-2 team? Yeah. Good game on the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, we were getting pretty worried about our defense near the end of the year. We finally started getting some bigger players back, bigger name players, Anal Zone being one of them. As soon as this game started, I would say about a drive in, I thought in my head, I'm like, this defense looks different. Like, it looks more like what it looked like in the beginning of the season. I don't know if that was just a one game situation and Glenn just coached his ass off, because I mean, he outcoached Kevin O'Connell this game, offense and defense. Like, just seemed to always have a step ahead of what O'Connell wanted to do. But yeah, so Lions, I mean, they played one of the best games we could expect or hope for against the Vikings. I mean, going into this game, our defense, we were looking pretty rough the last couple of weeks. Offenses are really moving down the field on us at will. We were trying to have to score 40 points a game to even have a shot at, you know, keeping this streak going. But something was different. It was like the first drive near the end of it. I could just feel the way they were swarming to the football. The players just seemed to be a little bit more quick to react. It seemed more like what I realized what were happening earlier in the season. Like, the defense was always just everywhere. They're always around the ball. That was pretty apparent. So I don't know if that was Anzalone coming back. Now we don't have, you know, practice squad running or linebackers who's picked up off the street starting. I mean, that's probably a big deal. But he was the kind of the quarterback of the defense. So getting him back seems to be a big deal. And he was really important against TJ Hockenson. It was like two or three times where he batted down passes that were going to Hockenson that would have probably been first downs on third down. So clearly he made it a big deal just alone as a player. But I think also some reason, I think the whole defense plays better when he's on the field just because of his knowledge and just being kind of like the quarterback of the defense. So that was big. The big deal, though, is Darnold just looked off. I mean, I don't know if that was just a bad game. The Lions seemed to be able to get pressure this game more so than they have been in the past. They were blitzing a lot. They were getting home quite a bit. So, I mean, for Darnold, he had to make some throws and not the most advantageous positions. And, you know, he missed in those situations. So I don't know if it's all on him, but this is definitely a game that doesn't hurt him going into next year, where he could make a huge, huge, huge payday. Like you said, if he has another bad game in the playoffs, he might lose like $20 million a year. it's crazy.
It sucks. It sucks as a quarterback to have it, to play that well all season long, and just two games at the end could cost you that much money. He's still going to make a lot, and he's still, you know, this is an awesome comeback season for Sam Darnold, regardless of what happens. Somebody will sign him, no matter what happens next week. But if anything, it might even help the Vikings, because they might just be able to keep him for a little bit cheaper now, and maybe give J.J. McCarthy another year to sit and watch and learn, because it seems like that's good for quarterbacks. Maybe they just want to start playing him right away. It's hard to be patient when you draft someone that high to wait around and see, but we've seen other teams do it and it seems to work well, so it might not be a bad thing if they can get him for a little bit cheaper, because he kind of fucks up at the end here. Because I'm sure the Vikings don't want to be the ones that have to pay him $50+ million a year.
I mean, I agree. That could be a really good situation for them, because, you know, maybe the two dud games, they get to get him at a discount. And then they can kind of see what they have in J.J. McCarthy. Like, if maybe, you know, the time that they did see McCarthy wasn't really that promising. You know, I'm sure these coaches have a good opinion of what they feel of McCarthy is. Right? So if they feel like McCarthy's ready, then they probably don't even bother entertaining offering Darnold. But if they're still not sure, yeah, I think getting Sam Darnold sort of like, let's say like $35 million a year, I mean, that's a ballpark number, feels pretty good. You know, that gives you what looks like a pretty good starter who maybe even played better than Cousins throughout the whole season, any of Cousins' recent seasons. I'm not sure if that's true. You have to buy like in the Vance metrics and stuff, but get the guy $35 million. That's a steal. So if that's the case, yeah, the Vikings are gonna take it. I'm sure they won't like the outcome though, because that means they lose two and they're out of the playoffs.
True. Right?
So that would probably not be the best either. But as far as budgeting Sam Darnold into their all budget, yeah, worked out really well for them.
Yeah, it's kind of funny for the Vikings too, because their two losses this season were back-to-back weeks to the Rams and then the Lions. And now in the playoffs, they're going to have to play the Rams and then the Lions.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, assuming the Packers and the Commanders lose, then that would be their path forward. Would be the exact two same matchups.
Honolulu Flu gets them again.
They get that chance to redeem themselves. Yeah, I guess it'll be in reverse order this time. But, yeah. So we got three NFC North teams in the playoffs. It's going to be interesting. If a couple of them can get wins here. I mean, the Lions don't have a chance to get a win this week, but yeah, if the Packers win, they'd go up against the Lions. Because you'd have the best seed, we'd have the worst. So that'd be our next matchup. And then, yeah, if the Vikings win and then the other wild cards get bounced, then the Vikings would be up against the Lions again for a rematch just 2 weeks later.
Yep.
They get a chance.
At the end of the game, they're shaking hands. Dan Campbell shaked. Kevin O'Connell is like, I'll see you in 2 weeks. So mm-hmm. Dan kind of likes the chalk and all the matchups is what I'm putting together here. So he expects the Vikings and Lions to match up again.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising. It's, they've got, well, yeah, I mean, they're all playoff teams now. It's not going to be easy for anyone to win. But it's nice to have the bye. You get one less playoff game.
I mean, the Lions needed it more than almost any team in the league. Their last time they had off was week 5. So it's huge for the Lions. They're going to get Montgomery back. I think they might get Carlton Davis back. But they're getting some big-time players ready for the divisional round now. Not have to worry about playing a game. They get the rest up and finally get a little bit of relax on a long season. So,
yeah. I mean, the injury, the rest is good. The injury recoveries, you get an extra week for that. That's huge. But, yeah, I mean, just when you get the bye, you only got to win 2 playoff games to be in the Super Bowl. When you don't, you got to win 3. And you're not playing against bad teams. So, I mean, one less game is that's a huge difference in your chances of making it to the end.
It all takes is one more game for, you know, Hutchinson to get injured or something. You know, it's just,
yeah,
you want to lose that guy right before the final games, you know. So that's the situation that you're looking at just by playing more games. You're just taking more chances at that. So, yeah, any rest I think is good. But more so just for teams that are up.
So speaking of playoffs, we're going to go through the playoff matchups for next week, do a little playoff preview of what we think of these matchups. And this is going to be our bet for next week. So we're going to go through them all. There's 6 games. And we're going to pick who we think is the winner, each one of us. And then whoever picks the least correctly, probably not the best way to phrase that, but whoever does worse in these predictions is going to take the shot next week. So that'll be our shot bet. I'm going to start with the AFC. So the Chiefs are on bye. They're the number 1 seed. Number 2 seed, we have the Bills against the number 7 seed, which is the Broncos. So this one, I'm obviously going with Bills. Josh Allen versus Bo Nix. Bo Nix has been fantastic this year. I mean, honestly, at this point, he gives Jaden Daniels a run for his money for who's the better rookie quarterback this last year, because Bo Nix has been on fucking fire for the second half of the season. Jaden Daniels was on fire in the first half of the season. He slowed down a little bit. He did get hurt at one point, but Bo Nix looked fantastic. They do have a great coach over there, Sean Payton. So anything's possible, but I can't not bet on Bills at home. 2 seed versus 7 seed.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty safe thing to say. I really like the Broncos, though. Sorry. Really, their team has been one of the most impressive teams this season. You don't really have any real marquee names. They're more so in a rebuilding year than most teams. Like, everyone kind of thought they were just trying to throw a house out, let Sean Payton slowly build up the team around Bo Nix. This is kind of like Bo Nix's like year to just to kind of take in the offense and just be like Sean Payton's puppet. And they were way better than anyone expected with that. Nix, like you said, he's got a strong case probably to beat Jaden Daniels for the Rookie of the Year. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's closer than I think people think. Nix has probably been the better quarterback last probably like half of the season.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at maybe just the hype of being number 2 overall pick compared to like the number 13 overall pick being the difference, and that will probably, you know, favor Daniels. But yeah, you can't bet on against the Bills here. I picked them as my favorite in the AFC, so I would still keep them there. The Broncos do have a defense that can limit the Bills' offense. I think I mentioned it earlier in the season. The one thing that seemed to really bother the Bills, especially Josh Allen, is when they can run press coverage and take out the receivers just in man coverage. And I think the Broncos have two of the better corners in the league, so I think they'll be able to do that. They'll probably limit the score to this game pretty low. I don't expect it to be a very high-scoring game, but just Josh Allen will probably make a play or two. That will be the difference.
Yeah, you got to keep Josh Allen contained, too. You got to shut down the wide receivers and make sure Josh Allen doesn't get away with murder, which he often does. So it's not even just the runs. It's just he can scramble around back there for so fucking long and no one can get him down. So it gives it even the best corners, shutdown corners. I mean, you give them 6-7 seconds of trying to cover a receiver. Someone's getting open at some point. It's impossible to cover for that long.
Yeah, no. And when it's the playoff time, he runs a lot more. You know, he definitely preserves his body earlier in the season. And he doesn't take and run on certain plays just to preserve himself. So when it's playoff time, it doesn't matter. He's going to do all that. So he just gets so much better in the playoffs.
Yeah, I expect a show from him. But yeah, so we're both taking the Bills there. I was also going to say about the Broncos, too. They're paying Russell Wilson like $45 million a year still. And they will be next year as well, I think. So they're doing all that while they're paying a quarterback to play for the Steelers.
If like, you knew Sean Payton personally and talked to him on like a real level, if he thought that this team was going to make the playoffs, I doubt he would say yes at all in the beginning of the year. There's no way.
I think,
being honest, he would say that. So yeah, it's crazy to see how far they've come.
Yeah, it was an impressive year for them. That's definitely the biggest sleeper. Maybe the Commanders too. Broncos and Commanders, yeah, just the other one of those teams. Yeah. You hit on quarterback, yeah, look what the difference it makes. You went from a team that no one thought was going to do shit, and I guess you could say the same about the Vikings, too. Everyone kind of wrote them off, but then Sam Darnold turned out to be awesome.
There's actually a lot of situations. Even the Chargers, a lot of people thought weren't going to be that great this year. There's a lot of teams that outperformed their expectations.
Yeah. Next matchup, though, we have the number 3 seed Ravens versus the number 6 seed Steelers. So we got an AFC North matchup, which is kind of cool in the first round. Steelers, I don't think the Steelers have a shot in this one. I mean, AFC North, they play each other hard, so I won't chalk it up as impossible, but the Steelers were on a really hot run for a while, but they're kind of on a hot run going through not the best teams, and then they kind of ended the season cooling way down, playing some good teams. So I don't really think they're in the same class as the Ravens. I don't think they have a real good shot against the Ravens. Not that I don't like what they've done. The Steelers also haven't won a playoff game in like 5 or 6 years. They make the playoffs every year in those time, but they never win. They never win when they get there. So they've kind of got that going against them. I don't know really what else to say about this one. The Ravens just seem like the better team. Besides maybe the kicker.
Yeah. which is crazy to say.
I know, right?
Ravens kickers used to be the best kicker in the league. I'm going to say normally the chalk would be the Ravens. That's who I'd go with. But I think for the sake of the show, I'm going to go with the Steelers. It's a divisional game. I think the Steelers have like a win streak against the Ravens, like a pretty long one too. It's like, I feel like that's not a team that the Ravens want to see in the playoffs. So divisional game, I think the Steelers are going to play them strong. The Steelers have a defense that can shut down anybody. And the fact that they know Lamar Jackson so well, it gives them an edge. And I think I've mentioned this before, but Lamar Jackson has a long streak of being really good in the first game against the team. But then the second matchup against that team in the season, he performs much worse. And it's always like he has really good records against the NFC during the regular season. And again, like he always doesn't do that well in like the AFC against his own division. And there's a lot of theories about like when you play against him, like, you know, a lot, you get to kind of know him a little better and like, you know how to play against his style of play. Cause he's not like the best passer in the world. So all that comes into play. I'm going to take the Steelers as the upset here against the Ravens, even though I do really like the Ravens. It's hard to bet against them. I probably wouldn't do it with real money, but for the sake of the show.
Sure. I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I will say, yeah, I think there was a stat. I think Lamar Jackson only beat the Steelers once up until they actually played like 3 weeks ago and they did beat him. But up until that point, I think he'd only beaten the Steelers one time in his career. Granted, he had played them as much as you would think being in the same division because Lamar Jackson's missed a decent chunk of time and he kind of just always wound up missing. He missed a lot of those games. So, yeah, he'd only beaten him one time, which is wild to be. For a quarterback as great as he is, and to have a division team that you only beat one time in the 4 years that he's played is kind of crazy. But, how long? I don't know how long he's been around.
I mean, he's won two MVPs. He's got to be in the league for a little while.
Yeah, but he ended the one season playing, then he played the next year, then I think he won. Did he win the MVP like his first year that he started all the games? He might have.
I think he wanted his second.
Maybe he's been around longer.
He's been long. I think it's got to be like 8-7 years.
Is it really that long? It could be. I guess I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, the dude's fantastic, seven though. Seasons. What's it?
It is seven years.
It's a seventh season. Okay. But it's his first season. He didn't play until like what week?
Near 12 the end, or something like that.
Yeah, 12 or 13. And then he missed 2 years ago. He missed like the whole second half of the season, I think. Last year he won the MVP, and I think the 2 years before that he won the MVP. He's missed some huge chunks of time, and he misses like. He's also a guy who like, he'll just like gets sick, and then he misses games like when it starts getting cold out. I guess like a regular thing for him, like once a year, just like. He's got the flu, can't play, he's going to miss a game. So maybe that's what some of the Steelers games is too, is like he just didn't play them because shit happened.
Want to play Pittsburgh at the end of the year? Yeah, I don't blame him. Yeah,
I got that. I don't feel like playing these fuckers, they get way too violent.
Right.
But then, yeah, we got one more AFC North, we got one more AFC matchup. We got the Texans versus the Chargers. So the 4 seed Texans versus the 5 seed Chargers. I think the Chargers are the better team. I don't even think the Texans really belong in the playoffs, to be perfectly honest. I think they had an easy division. They kind of just got in. I don't think the Chargers are fantastic yet, but they have a coach with a ton of playoff experience. Yeah, this is actually kind of tough. I'll take the Chargers. I just don't think the Texans are that good. I don't, and they've lost. They lost Diggs. They lost Nico's there, but I can't remember their third receiver was really good too. They lost him this year. So now two of their starting. Yeah, Tank Dell. So they lost two of their starting wide receivers. And CJ Stroud just didn't take that step up this year. And in fact, it kind of seems like he took a step back this year. So I can't see them beating the Chargers. I'd have to take the Chargers on this one.
Yeah, I like the Chargers actually quite a bit. I just love the way Jim Harbaugh coaches. I think he's one of the better coaches in the league. Not to say anything's wrong with the Texans coach. I can't think of his name right now, but he's a former player, Alabama. He's a a good coach too, but Jim Harbaugh is just, like you said, he's been in these situations so much in his career. It's just another game for him, really. I trust him. I always take the better quarterback when I'm not 100% sure if I favor one team or the other. And Stroud, like you said, hasn't had the best second year. Everyone kind of expected him to take a step up on his rookie season, which might have been the best rookie season we've ever seen from a quarterback. So I don't blame people for thinking that, but he just hasn't really put it all together this season. The injuries hurt, but his play overall just hasn't been that great. And on the other side, the Chargers, I mean, their quarterback is pretty good. I'm trying to think who his receivers are right now.
They got Quentin Johnson, and they got that rookie they signed this year. I can't think of the rookie's name. Because, yeah, they had Mike Williams, and they had guys on the Bears now. But they were both kind of highly paid, so Harbaugh got in there. He's like, nah, we're not spending this much money on receivers when we have other problems to fix first. So he let them both walk away.
That was exactly what needed to happen. You know, I think he just built the team from the ground up. He just decided, like, hey, we need to go back to the basics and, you know, build up the offensive line so we have something around Justin Herbert that, you know, keep him upright. All great and, you know, fine and dandy when you have all these great receivers who can make great plays downfield, but if your quarterback's just getting whacked a bunch, you know, they're going to end up like Andrew Luck eventually. So, I like the way Harbaugh thought that way. That's the same way the Lions rebuilt and Holmes and Campbell came in, is that they just focused on the offensive line, the defense line. They just signed a bunch of, like, random free agent wide receivers that no one ever heard of, and they just went into the season with that. That's why everyone was like, man, Jared Goff sucks, because he had nothing to throw at until like halfway through the season is when they had Amon Ra come out and start playing really well. That really changed the receiving core because they finally had someone. But again, it's just about building the nucleus of the team, and that's what Harbaugh has done. And that's just going to make them overall a more consistent team moving forward. And when you have a good defense, you have good offensive line play, and a great quarterback, pretty much win any matchup. Any team that's going to take them here.
Yeah. I mean, I can see them being very scary next year and Super Bowl contenders the year after that.
I could see them being Super Bowl contenders next year. I think they just need a receiving core.
It depends who they draft and what they do in the free agency, but it's hard for a rookie wide receiver to step up in one season. Sometimes it takes them two. And they got the rookie this year who has, I can't think of his name, but he has been looking better throughout the season.
Ty McConkie. I looked it up.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Well, let's say you go and get T. Higgins. You go trade like your first T. Higgins, and then you get like a legit number one with a really solid Ladd McConkie coming off his second season. Add around Herbert is probably more than enough for a receiving core, but you know, Quentin Johnson, he's looked okay. So, I mean, you got like this kind of freakish, high potential receiver behind them, so those guys can take the brunt of the load at receiver, and then maybe Quentin Johnson ends up becoming like a deep threat just because of his size and speed. And then you have this really great receiving core put around Herbert now. Maybe you need to get a running back, but I feel like they can just cycle through running back. It's kind of how Harbaugh likes to do it anyway. He never really had like a one stud that he just relies on, so he probably would rather have a bunch of different running backs with different skill sets. So yeah, I could see next year them being a Super Bowl contender, definitely. But they're definitely have to make some moves to get there.
Yeah, I think next year might be 1 year too soon. Because I don't think he's going to trade picks for a wide receiver. Like, I don't think he's going to give that kind of stuff up to improve in that way.
Yeah.
Unless he really thinks, like, we're ready to go for it already in the second year. Then I could see it, but I don't see it being quite that solidified.
It'd have to be the right player. I mean, that's the reason why he got rid of the receivers he did. Age, and then he just didn't like their way he didn't think they fit like the way he wants to play football, you know, like their scheme and stuff. So that's part of it too. So it might be the right place, the right time for them. If they don't get it, then yeah, they're probably not going to trade picks, because Harbaugh is definitely, I think, a long-term minded coach. I mean, he's going to draft, build up the bottom of the team first, I think. That's kind of how he looks at things. I mean, also he's coming from college where that's kind of mentality anyway. So yeah, you might be right about that, but still, when you have a great quarterback, you never know. Any year can be your year.
Great quarterback and a great coach. Yeah, I mean, that's the dynamic duo that makes makes everything else run well. So yeah, that's our. So we're both taking the Chargers in that one.
Yep.
Yeah, barely even talked about the Texans because, like I said, I don't think they really belong in the playoffs.
I mean, there's no one worth in that division. I mean, someone had to win it, so that's
Colts
were okay, but I
mean, but there's like
problems.
There's several other AFC teams that I'd be like, they're more deserving to be in the playoffs than the Texans. Versus the NFC, the seven teams that are in the NFC, I think, are the best seven teams. But the AFC, I think the Texans kind of stole one getting in there.
Yeah. They just have to like have the right division.
Yeah. I mean, then that happens. That's why divisions are important. And, like, there's a lot of rumblings this year about divisions are a bunch of bullshit, mostly from the NFC, because the NFC was extremely top-heavy. It kind of sucked being like, the Lions or Vikings are taking the 5 seed because the Rams and the Buccaneers have to outrank you. It's just it's just the way it is. I mean, yeah, they have a worse record. Just, you know, a decently worse record, but they won their division. And divisions make football fun. It's way more fun. There's the rivalries. At least in the NFC North, there's huge rivalries. I don't know if it plays like that everywhere else, but yeah, the NFC North, I mean, you hate your opponents.
Oh, yeah. No.
At least on game day. You can still love the fans, but you hate them for that day.
90% of my friends are Packer fans. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I can attest that. Yeah, it doesn't really matter what team you cheer for, but it just adds to it. I would rather have fans that are opposing teams. It makes it more enjoyable. It's okay to have banter back and forth, you know, kind of talk shit and, you know, make the game a little more fun. It makes you like feel like you have a part of the game, part of the, you know, win when you're a fan like that and you can do those things. So, yeah, it's important. If they got rid of divisions, they'd get rid of a lot of that. So I don't think it'll ever happen. I don't think the NFL would ever entertain it because it probably makes so much money. Because the rivalries was where all the money is at, you know? Like, think about, even if, like, the Bears and Packers aren't good, one of those teams, those games always sell out. It's always a big deal. They're going to have it on Monday Night Football. Even if the Bears are the worst team in the league the following year, they're going to still give them Monday Night Football against Green Bay just because that makes money. Mm-hmm. And that's because that's a rivalry and it's been there forever. And what they have like 113 years played now against each other. It's like,
it's cool stupid, stuff. Yeah.
Don't break that up. Yeah. So, yeah. Is there every now and then there's going to be a crazy division like this division? This is, I think, the most winningest division ever since they went to the 4-team format. So it's like, yeah, that's crazy. But it also just proves that the league was really top heavy, at least the NFC North was. And there was just either really, really good teams or really bad teams. And it just kind of sorted itself out. So the records are really lopsided this year. Mm-hmm. But then there's some years where everyone's like, you know, 50 or 500 and they're all fighting. And it's awesome because everyone has a shot to make the playoffs in the final 2 weeks. So, yeah, do they make it a little less entertaining for seeding in the end? I think a little bit. But the rivalry and like everything else that comes with the divisions is way more worth it in the end. I mean, we don't get NFC North meme more for no divisions, man. And that's my favorite place on the internet right now. Exactly.
And NFC North is, like, in my opinion, the best division. Just because, like, we're actually all the football cities are, like, really close to each other. A lot of the divisions, like, they're just scattered all over the goddamn place. They don't even really make a ton of sense.
It used to be worse.
The West, at least it's the West Coast, but they're still, like, way up and down the coastline. Like, well, one stadium to the next round here is, you can drive them, you know, in less than a day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can go from Lambeau or Green Bay, by what, 5 hours to Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Probably like a five-hour trip to Chicago. And then what, Detroit is probably like 8-9?
Yeah, that'd be a little longer because you got to get around the
lake. I mean, you could do all of them in a day.
Get a ferry. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. I mean, obviously, there's so much history between our states over the years. I mean, look at the UP. You know, this was annexed from Wisconsin for like nothing. Yeah, so it's like there's even rivalries between the states, and you know, Illinois versus Wisconsin at the border there. You know, those two kids hate each other. They always make, you know, comments about each other, or I'm sure there's something like that over in Minnesota where, you know, borders Wisconsin. So there's so much more like fight between the states too, probably because of the divisions of football and probably just because of the natural divisions of land that they've had over, you know, hundreds of years. So I think the divisions make it so much fun.
But it is fun.
They used to be really messed up. If you think about the NFC North, we used to have Tampa in our division. Yeah, so it's better now than it used to be.
Yeah. Like, if you look at, like, the East, because then you got the NFC East, like, the Cowboys are there.
Yeah.
They're further west than we are, but they're in the NFC East. Because they just grouped them in with the Giants and Philadelphia.
Like, one of those situations, like, oh, these teams just had rivalries from a while back, so why split them up, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure there has to be a reason for it, but, yeah, a lot of them are like that. It's like, there's a couple teams here and then a couple teams way over there. It's like, why are you guys in the same division? I don't really know. But yeah, I love ours.
Divisions, like, geographically, it's always kind of weird. You know, like all the teams that get lumped together, like Dallas, Arizona, you know, like those teams all get lumped together. And like maybe some of the like LA teams all get lumped in the same one. And then it's like they remove like NFC North and AFC as well. I think they do that differently. So like every team switches on NFC, AFC, just so the divisions make sense. So all the teams are like in their own clusters.
Yeah.
That could be cool if they were to focus on something like that. But again, it's just gone too long. I wonder why it got the way it was. Probably just the time teams got into the league. It's like, oh, you're in the league. Well, there's four teams over here, so you're going to go to this division instead. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, but not teams, sense.
Teams did move around too, so that might have played a factor. Like where you're playing now wasn't necessarily where you were playing for 30 years ago when they were trying to sort this shit out.
But aren't the Lakers originally from Minnesota? And like they were called the Minnesota Lakers and they just went to LA and they're just like, yeah, I guess we're just going to keep that name. And now there's still the Lakers and there's no like lakes in California where it's like they came from this, you know. Minnesota, which is like, what do they call Minnesota? Of the lakes?
Land of the lakes. Yeah. Or 10,000 lakes, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's why the Lakers are named the Lakers. They're not even from LA.
That makes sense. That makes sense why they're called the Lakers. Because, yeah, I guess their name doesn't make any sense being a LA team. But LA's kind of doing that with football, too, now. Like, they just keep getting more and more teams.
They're just so big because of all the money in LA, so they can buy, you know, like, hey, we want a team in LA. How much money can we make here? Lots of money. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of sucks for the home teams there, though, because it's like Rams, like players and fans have talked about it. It's like, yeah, it's our home game, but like half the fucking stadium sold out to the opposing team because there's multiple basketball teams that play here, multiple football teams that play here. It's hard to like conglomerate everyone to this specific thing at any given time and baseball and whatever else, you know. There's always more than one season going on.
You know, it's like our summer's still going on there almost at times. So it's like people don't really want to go inside. They want to stay out, you know. So that also plays into it as well. So, yeah, a lot of different things they can do. And there's not a bunch of bored people in the middle of winter that just sit in their house and be a hermit and drink beer. So it's just people that enjoy football are just not the same people that enjoy the LA lifestyle.
True.
Yeah, those teams all struggle. The LA Chargers and the Rams, they both, I think most of their home games are like almost 50% random fans. And then like 30% their team, maybe 40%, and then like 10 or 20% of their opposing team, depending how big that team is. And it's just like a number of all people. Fighting as a team, I don't think, to have those fans cheering for it, because I'm sure those stadiums are like half as loud as a legitimate, you know, team like Green Bay or something like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, speaking of the NFC and the NFC North, the best division, we'll get into the NFC playoff picture. So the number one seed, we got the Lions. They got their bye, so they don't have to play this week. Then we got the number two seed Eagles versus the number seven seed Packers. Eagles have looked great this year. Yeah, I mean, they kind of ended last year very poorly, but the addition of Saquon Barkley seemed to make all the difference for that team because they have looked electric. Their run game is fantastic. They still got, well, they might have Jalen Hurts. That's actually kind of up in the air still. He still hasn't cleared concussion protocol last I checked, which is kind of a big deal. I mean, if he's not playing, that's a huge difference on their team. Mainly, because I said it before, mainly because of the tush push. Like, that gives that team such a huge advantage. The guy can just scramble around sometimes, or they can get, like, he's like, he knows if they can, if it's third down and they can get within 1 yard of the fourth down, or the first down, like, they still get the first down. It's just such a huge advantage to have. So if he's not playing, which I assume he will, it'd be so crazy to have him not play a playoff game. But the concussion rules are the concussion rules, I guess. If he doesn't clear it this week, he ain't playing. But he has 2 weeks out, so maybe there'll be a little rust there. Packers on the other side. Packers defense has been pretty damn good this year. And I honestly think we do have a chance in this game. I'm sure a lot of Packers fans are pretty in the dumps after the last 2 weeks. I kind of was. But I've kind of talked myself back into hope, which is maybe a bad thing just to have it crushed again. But our defense, we're like number two or three in takeaways this year. Jalen Hurts gives you opportunities to take the ball away if he's playing. So if we can get a couple of those, you only need a couple. If you win the turnover differential by two, it's hard to lose. Our run D has been actually pretty spectacular this year, at least compared to all the other years, and actually compared to most of the NFL, we've done very well in the run defense. I'm not saying we're going to just shut down Saquon Barkley, but if we can hold him to like something respectable, like 80 to 100 yards and maybe one touchdown, that might be enough. If we can force Jalen Hurts to actually have to throw the ball and take advantage of a couple of his, you know, a couple of things that he regularly does, which is make questionable throws, then I think we've got a chance. And the Packers also have Josh Jacobs, who we've basically been resting for the last 3 weeks. I think he's only played like four quarters total in the last 3 weeks. We've been preparing for this, and I'm quite sure he's going to get a huge dose of the workload going into these playoff games. So, I mean, that dude is almost as rested as you can be going to the playoffs without having a bye. And I think they're ready to unleash him. That's what I see coming. And I think we've got a decent chance. I'm taking the Packers on this one. Call me a homer if you want, but I'm not betting against my home team. We surprised the Cowboys last year. Everyone wrote us off. No one thought there was a chance. We came out and we just shellacked them. So it could happen again.
Hey, never apologize for being a homer or, you know, picking your team to win a game. I don't agree. Said most of the year I've been a big fan of the Eagles. I think healthy, where the Lions were looking before last week when the Eagles were healthy, I thought the Eagles were the best team in the league. Obviously that hurts matters in that equation. I don't think Kenny Pickett really elevates the Packers to be any better than the Packers are right now. So I would say if Kenny Pickett does play, that definitely push me towards the Packers, just because I don't trust Kenny Pickett. I mean, look at the Steelers, instantly made the playoffs as soon as they got washed up Russell Wilson playing instead of Kenny Pickett.
They made the playoffs with Kenny Pickett.
Oh, that's right, they did. God, yep. How did they do that? Okay.
They always do.
Yeah, that's just their coach. I can't think of his name right now, but their coach is just incredible. But
Tomlinson.
Yeah, Tomlinson. If Hurts does play, though, I don't think it's going to be particularly close. I thought the Packers' win streak later in this year was pretty fortunate. They played against a lot of teams like the Niners and the Saints when they were just beat up and probably at their worst in this season. And that, I think that really helped push their win streak and their numbers, and I think it got people kind of excited about them until they got into a little bit of harder games near the end of the year. Still not really liking what I see from Love. I know with the bye, it just seems that they've really cut back on what he's allowed to do. And I just, when they do that to quarterbacks, that just means that they're limiting him because they're concerned about something. So maybe they'll open up more now it's the playoffs. I mean, obviously they're going to have to. They, you know, no matter what, they're going to be in higher scoring games or more competitive games. So they're going to have to force themselves to throw a little more. So I'm going to be curious to watch that. I keep hammering on that, but I think that is the real big thing with the Packers. I want to know why they cut back on loves playing so or passing numbers so much in the second half of the season. But again, if that the main thing that could be happening from that is they just want to play a more defensive focused game because they do have a very good defense, as mentioned before. Pass rush is kind of hit and miss, but outside of the pass rush, I think you guys are pretty much stacked everywhere. Good linebacker play, good secondary play, especially at safety. And then you have Jarrett and they're back.
No, we don't. He's out for the season.
He's already out for the season? I thought he was.
He's out for the season.
I just went back and forth on that thing, and then eventually it's like, hey, he's out for the season?
Yep.
That guy hasn't been healthy in like 4 years now.
No. He's our new Bakhtiari.
Yeah.
He got his huge contract, and it's like, gets hurt the next year, plays like half the games, plays half the games next year, sits out a whole year. It's like, god damn it. I hope he comes back next year, but I don't know what to expect of him. But yeah, he's not playing the rest of the season.
He's healthy. He's incredible. I mean, there was that year when Jalen Crosby. Who was that really good corner? Went to the Rams, the Jaguar. Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, yeah.
When Jalen Ramsey was at his peak, was when Jair was like playing really well, and I thought he was like almost on the same level. Everyone was talking about how Jalen Ramsey was like maybe on like a Deion trajectory at that time, but then he just kind of fell off, got older. Like his athleticism left him quick. But that was like 4 years ago, and both those guys have just been ghosts almost, it seems like. They're just never on the field, so hopefully he can get healthy. He's a really good player. He's fun to watch. I love him and Justin Jefferson when they get at it. Like those two seem to like just jar at each other. Those matchups are fun. So as a outsider looking in, I do love that as well from him. So sometimes it can be annoying when you're playing against it, and you know he's cocky because something good happened, and it kind of rubs you a little bit the wrong way. But you get the opportunity because you made the stop. But anyway, I'm moving too far off. Yeah, I take the Eagles. They're just a better team from top to bottom.
Yeah, I think we get Quay Walker back this week, which helps a little bit on our D-line. Edgerrin Cooper, over the last like 4 months or so, the rookie we drafted this year, he's been looking actually fantastic. I think he leads the team in tackles. He's got a lot of sacks. The dude just has a nose for being where he needs to be. He's been actually looking awesome. I'm really looking forward to next year with him. It looks like we finally have like a really good.
He was really hyped as a pick, wasn't he? Like when I was reading stuff, like everyone was talking about how good of a pick that was by the Packers. And
yeah, but he's kind of slow to start, and then he got hurt, and then but now over the last month, he's been looking like what we wanted him to be. It's just like finally we hit on one of these guys.
Yeah, it's been a long time since you guys had like a really good linebacker that wasn't just like a 1 year flash.
Yeah, or someone that we picked up a free agency. So we had Zeit. Yeah. Sedarius was really good for a couple of years for the Packers too.
He's more of like a pass rusher. The last like you know linebacker like that like I can think of is Nick Barnett. You know that was like a really good Packer
linebacker
for a long time. You know like 5-6 years. Like I can't remember anyone outside of like Nick.
All right, so yeah, I mean I assume we were going to disagree on this one. So you got the Eagles, I got the Packers. Next matchup, we got the number 3 seed Buccaneers versus the number 6 seed Commanders. So this one is interesting. I can honestly see this one going either way. It's kind of a tough pick, but I'd have to go with the Buccaneers. Yeah, just, I don't know. Jaden Daniels, he's still a rookie. The Commanders have been incredible this year. I mean, yeah, they've been fantastic. They don't have the playoff experience. No one on that team does. They were so bad last year. The Buccaneers were in the playoffs last year. I can't remember if they won one or not.
They beat somebody, and then they played the Lions in the divisional round. I don't remember who they beat, though.
Okay, so they were around it at that point, huh?
Oh, okay. They beat the Eagles.
I mean, you guys beat them. Oh, that's right. Yeah, they beat the Eagles. The Eagles were
injured. Yeah, everyone kind of just that game. It was like an easy win for the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
It was like guaranteed for them to go to the next round. Like no one had the Eagles winning that game.
But yeah. I mean, Baker's looked fantastic this year. Mike Evans, he secured 1,000 yards again. Good for him. Did you see that last play where he got it?
Yeah, they just all like jump on him. It's not like the middle of the game.
Yeah, the game wasn't even over. I mean, they should have been taking a knee, but they just run out and they're like, nah, he needs 5 yards. We're getting him 5 yards. And even the defenders that were supposed to tackle him, kind of like, there's a guy, I don't know who it was, but number one, like, he runs at him, then he just stops. He's like, wait a minute, I'll let you get your 5 yards. He didn't even care. He's like, we lost. You should be kneeing anyways. Get your $3 million bonus and get your fucking awesome 11 seasons in a row with 1,000 yards. So,
yeah, props in those to that situations, guy. Teams will, like, give it to him. I mean, isn't it pretty famous that Arv gave Strahan the last sack and everyone's kind of bitter about that to break the sack record? Everyone is mad at Favre. Did you hear about that story recently?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
The player that he beat the record on, like, confronted Favre at some event and, like, chewed him out for it. I guess it got a little hostile.
Sounds familiar, but I don't know exactly what happened.
I read something about it this year. It was very interesting. I didn't read enough into the article, but yeah. So teams do it a lot. It was cool to see Mike Williams Mike get it. It's just crazy. It was 11 years, didn't he, or 13?
11 seasons. Yeah, okay. I think
he tied Jerry Rice record.
Yeah, that's. But Jerry Rice had 11 total, not 11 in a row.
No, Jerry Rice had 11 in a row, I think.
He had 11 in a row, 1,000-yard seasons?
He had like 20 seasons, and he went like 1,000 yards in most of them.
Oh, maybe you're right.
No, I think it's in a row, because that's Evans' record is like 11 in a row, so it's got to be in a row. Jerry Rice probably did it like in his younger part of his career, but I'm sure he did 11. Oh, yeah, there's definitely here. 86 through 96, 11 years of full time.
Yeah, incredibly impressive. But yeah, I mean, I take the Buccaneers here. They're only, what, 2 years removed from their Super Bowl win, too? So there's still a ton of playoff experience on that team. Baker Mayfield's been fantastic. I can't take the Commanders. The Commanders have been great this year, and I think they're a legitimate team. But I'd have to take the Bucs if I'm betting on it.
I was going to take the Bucs, but you kind of convinced me for the Commanders. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Commanders now. Jaden Daniels has been exceptional this year. He had that middle part of the season where he started to look like, oh, maybe he's just a rookie and just had a fast start, and then turned it back on for the last couple games of the season. Gary Terry, he's been incredible this year. Their running game is really solid. Brian Johnson Jr., I think, is their guy that got shot last year, who has ended up being like their starter, and then he went into this season and has just kind of kept moving. They have Eckler as a backup to him, so they kind of have this nice thunder and lightning combo. Eckler being a really good receiving back to help out Daniels in short yardage situations. I like everything about their offense, really. Their offense is great. Defense has really outperformed expectations this year. That was always going to be a problem before they even got the offense going. So the fact that the defense like is playing as well as they are really is a testament to their head coach, who I think he was the defense coordinator. It was Quinn, right? Who took over the Commanders? And Quinn?
You're talking coach?
Yeah. He was the guy who was at Dallas last year, their defense coordinator. So, DQ. I mean, he's always been a defensive whisperer, though. He seems to be able to make the most out of every defensive situation he's at. So with him coaching back there, I feel really confident that their defense will do enough to limit Mayfield. I really do like Bucky Irving, and I do like Mike Evans, but I don't think they have a lot else outside of those two for weapons. I don't really think White's that great. I mean, he's good enough. He's like a steady player, but like no one that's like really going to put fear in the defense.
So, their tight end's pretty good.
Yeah, he's been on him. He's been pretty good this year. He's been making some big plays. I don't know him well enough yet, but I could agree if I saw more of him. Like he might be considered a threat, especially for the tight end position. There's not a whole lot. But overall, I think just the Commanders have a little more on offense, and I just trust Dan Quinn as a defense corner probably almost over anyone in the league. So I'll give him enough to hold Baker Mayfield back, who's been playing really well for the Commanders, to win by a cool cycle field goal. 24-21 Commanders.
Okay, so we had a little difference there too. The last one, this is the hardest one for me to decide. I'm still not even decided. I'll talk about it first and then maybe make my decision. We got the number 4 seed Rams versus the number 5 seed Vikings. So I feel like if I would have picked this before this last game, I would have just picked the Vikings. So I think I'll go with the Vikings because I don't want to be like, I don't have too much recency bias. Because the Vikings, really the only knock on them is this last week. They just looked, man, they just did not look good against the Lions at all. Like, so many red zone appearances and just no touchdowns. But I'm hoping Sam Darnold bounces back. Hopefully he doesn't let that last loss get to him too much, and he keeps playing like he had been for literally 16 games in a row. I mean, the dude looked awesome. I hope he bounces back to that. The Rams, I don't know. Both these teams are good, though. They both have really good wide receivers. Stafford definitely has way more track record than Sam Darnold. But, I mean, if you're basing it on this year, I mean, Darnold's looked about on par with Stafford. Vikings defense been awesome. Rams defense has not been nearly as... Yeah, I'd take the Vikings. Based on the defense, I think the Vikings have the better defense, and I think that'll push them over the edge. I'll go Vikings on this one.
I feel like you're trying to get a little too much of the recency bias. I feel like, yeah, you're almost talking to somebody. Like, the Vikings team's pretty good. And this is coming from the guy I kind of hated on him earlier. But I think I famously said that, you know, I really like Kevin O'Connell, and I really like Brian Flores. I liked a lot of their parts of their team. I just never really trusted Sam Darnold. It took all the way till week 18 for Sam Darnold to really have one of those Sam Darnold type games, and he did get a lot of pressure put in his face. So I feel like Darnold's going to turn it back around. I feel like he's done enough this season to turn me around on him as a player. He played so well throughout the year. And even some of those passes he missed, I mean, that was because he had a guy right in front of him. He's falling back and just trying to make a play. And you throw it as far as you can because you don't want to give the defense a shot at it because those are what get picked. So, yeah, did he miss him a little bit? Is there some of those plays that he probably made earlier in the year he didn't make it against the Lions? Yeah. Did he probably have a down game on passes overall? Yeah, absolutely. But everyone does. And maybe the moment got to him a little bit because he's never really been in that moment. But maybe that helped kill the nerves for the playoffs too. Maybe that game was a little bit too much for him. And now he's like, okay, got it out of my way. But now he kind of gets to play a lot more at ease for the rest of the playoffs. So hopefully that's what it does for him. I don't ever want to see somebody just completely fail. I think the story for Sam Darnold's awesome. It's kind of similar to Jared Goff's in a way where, you know, he's just kind of a given up on first round pick, kind of cast away for whatever you can get and then move on to the next guy. And I think that sucks for these players, you know, especially I think some of them, especially in like Goff's situation, they didn't play bad enough really to completely get left behind. Darnold obviously didn't play the best in his first couple stops in his career, but his last season at the Niners, there's a lot of positive stuff coming out of camp that he was better than Brock Purdy going into the offseason before that season started. So if that's the case, maybe this guy has been really good for 2 years and we just didn't get to see it because he was backing up Brock Purdy. And this is just who he's going to be. I'm going to take the Vikings. I think overall they're the better team. The Rams are kind of beat up too. I know Puka and Kupp still have some minor injuries going on. Stafford's always kind of dealing with something. I don't know if he is right now, but the Rams, I do know from overall, kind of have a banged up team going into playoffs. They kind of took this last week as a bye week for themselves to get healthy. Yeah. So with that added on, I think the Vikings are just a much better team at this point in the season. The Vikings defense is going to probably struggle a little bit stopping that Rams offense, but I think everyone does when they're healthy and on all cylinders. So probably be a pretty high scoring game, but I think Justin Jefferson and Sam Darnold make the play to win it at the end. I'm going to take the Vikings.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, too. I mean, the Rams straight up accepted the number four seed. Cause, I mean, they could have played last week and probably won, but they rested everybody. They're like, we're okay. We accept, so we'll play the... We're accepting that we're going to play because the Vikings are the Lions. And apparently they were cool with that. They're like, well... We'd rather get healthy and play a good-ass team in the first round versus play with guys who are banged up and maybe get a slightly easier match in the first round. They opted to take the rest. And
I think seeding overall is really overrated because if you want to make it to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to go through those teams at some point if they're that good.
Yep.
Right? So like, if you're going to play them, play them. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, even the game last week, you know, a lot of Lions fans are really, I can understand. Everyone wants to beat the Vikings. And I was just thinking, I'm like, even if we lose, it's not that big of a deal. Like, yeah, it is for the Lions in the sense that they lose a bye, but sometimes you can argue that the bye is not good for a team. I think with the Lions situation, it is. But there's teams that, you know, it was always notorious. Like the Colts would always rest a bunch of players and like Peyton Manning, and they would always come out really slow and almost win like their first week or something like that after resting people. Or not, it wasn't necessarily first week. It was like the second week, because they'd always go to the divisional round because they'd rest. So the rest of the final week of the season, they'd have the bye week, and then they'd play in the divisional. And like that 2 weeks really does affect those players, I think, especially when it's that long. And that concerns me a little bit, the Lions in general. But I think the Rams, Sean McVay is very well known for making players rest in the past. So I wasn't shocked at all that he would be exceeding to get his team healthy, because he was doing that when they were a more successful team. He rested everybody every year, it seemed. So,
I mean, the number one seed, I mean, nowadays, I mean, that's the only bye. I think the bye is huge. It reduces your playoff games by one. And there's only three total. Like that increases your odds so much. But I'll say, like, I don't know if we ever did it with the one bye, but I mean, the Packers had the number one seed so often, and we always fucking blew it when we got there. So I don't know how much of an advantage the one seed is. It's nice to have more home games, but you still got to beat the best teams in the NFL. That's what it comes down to.
You got a team that's...
Whether you play them the first week or the third week that you're playing, you still got to play them. You still got to beat them. So knock them out early and go on to the next game.
And you have a team coming in that's probably coming off so much adrenaline, and you don't like have that adrenaline for a couple weeks because you take the week off, and then it's like, and you play against this team, you know, like let's say the Broncos beat the Bills. You don't want to play that team next week, you know, like if you're the Chiefs, like the Broncos are coming out of like a huge win against the team they didn't expect to win. So like that team is just like on cloud nine. Those are the type of teams that go on little runs, you know. Maybe they don't win the Super Bowl, but they win a game or two and surprise everyone in the playoffs. Everyone's like, oh, like where did that come from? And the next year they turn into a pumpkin and they're terrible. But there's always a team like that, like Tennessee Titans. They did that a couple years ago with Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Everyone's like, this team shouldn't even be near the playoffs. And then Derrick Henry went off for like two games. Everyone's like, wait, are the Tennessee Titans going to make the Super Bowl? Because Derrick Henry is just like a god. And then nothing happened from it. It's interesting psychology and like the whole like, does the bye help or hurt it? It's interesting.
I mean, momentum's a real thing, in my opinion. It's a huge thing. So it plays a factor. But yeah, just a quick recap. So we had Bills versus Broncos. We both took the Bills. We had Ravens versus Steelers. You took the Steelers. I took the Ravens. We had Texans versus Chargers. We both took the Chargers. And then the NFC, we had the Eagles versus the Packers. I took the Packers. Jim took the Eagles. We had Buccaneers versus Commanders. I took the Buccaneers. Jim took the Commanders. And then Rams-Vikings, we both took the Vikings. So we've got enough difference, hopefully. Yeah, we've got three that we picked differently. So someone will have to lose the bet next week.
Oh, you picked the Packers. I thought we did two bets, right? You picked the Packers or the Eagles. For the most part, we both picked the chalk, I think, for the...
Yeah, well, there's one, two. Yeah, we have three different ones. So someone will have to win. Someone will have to lose. There's no way to tie. So it works out.
Doesn't even try and intentionally do that. The Commanders Buccaneers one, like as you were talking, I kind of like switched to the Commanders. Like I wanted to say the Buccaneers, but I was like, I don't know. I legitimately switched that on my own. Like that wasn't me just trying to make it interesting. Like the Commanders are good enough. You know, I kind of trashed on them most of the year. So, it's kind of weird for me, but.
I mean, they're 12-5. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That was the number one seed in the NFC last year. That's what the 49ers had.
Right, and they beat a lot of good teams. It wasn't like they just like had an easy schedule. Like I remember them playing high profile games against many teams and surprising people. Like they beat the Broncos. One of their losses is to the Buccaneers. Did they beat the Eagles? Well, they beat them with Kenny Pickett. Like, they lost the other game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Beat the Steelers. They have some high-profile wins against teams. I mean, you know, think what you want of some of those teams, but they still have winning records or played well at certain parts of the season. The Commanders were able to beat them, so. And then they beat the Bengals, too. They were kind of like looking like a solid team at the end of the year.
They might have.
Isn't
been the, yeah.
I mean, when you win 12 games, you beat a lot of teams. So.
I mean, they have to beat some good teams to win 12, yeah.
Yeah, so give me the Commanders.
All right, so yeah, that's it for the show. Any other parting words before we close her down for the day?
Not a whole lot. Just like I said before, time for playoffs. Our teams are here. Packers got a big game against the Eagles tomorrow. As a Lions fan, or not tomorrow, this weekend. Nice being on the bye, looking at all the teams kind of just going through a bloodbath against each other to see who plays you. I can tell how at ease you guys were during these in the past with Aaron Rodgers. You're just like, oh, this is kind of a nice week. Just get to watch everyone play and, you know, win or lose from the other teams. You don't care. Then everything kind of comes to real life the next week. But have fun watching these games. Let's see how good our bets do. I'm having a great time. Can't wait for the playoffs. Can't wait for the conclusion to hopefully see a Super Bowl. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, I might have to shoot darts during the Packer game, which I'm kind of bummed about, but
really?
They'll have the game on.
That sucks. So, I was just thinking about today, if like the Lions go to the Super Bowl, if anyone asks me to do anything, I might not go. Like, I think I just want to watch that at my own house. Like, I don't want anyone around me. I don't want to be, you know, like messed with. Like, I don't know. High profile games, I just kind of like to sit on my own and watch it, enjoy it my own way.
Yeah, Mike needed a sub. He's shooting a doubleheader on Sunday, and he's like, hey, I need a sub. I'm like, doubleheader? So, yeah, we got to shoot like 26 games of darts. It's shitload. Like, I could do one or the other. And then Jackie was like, well, I'll do the other one. Then I'm like, I guess that's fine.
But then you guys split his? So is he going to the game or something? Or no, I guess it's
I don't know what Ryan's doing. No, yeah, he wouldn't be going to the game. I don't know what he's doing. It's like, way to schedule a doubleheader and then dip.
Yeah, right.
Make someone sub for you. But yeah, I'm still looking forward to it. We'll have a couple games on Saturday that I'll get to enjoy. And, yeah, hopefully. If the Packers win, I don't care if I lose every game of darts. I mean, if there's a play going on, I don't care if I time out. That's straight up. I tell them like that, too. Yeah. Like, if we're waiting on a big play in the red zone, I'm not throwing my darts right now. I'm not walking away from the TV.
Is it locked in on the machine, or can, like, they just tell you, be like, okay, it's cool, we'll just give them...
You can, I think there is a timer. You get, like, 45 seconds to throw your darts once your turn rolls around. But you can pause it, and people usually pause it all the time. Like if someone
sure for the pack game, just, people
you pause it cool. Instead of letting it run out. The rule's there for like, and honestly, I don't know if we have any of these teams anymore. But you get those teams that are just like they're getting belligerently drunk and like they go out to smoke when it's their turn. It's like, dude, yeah. You got 45 seconds. If you don't throw, you're forfeiting your turn. Like we're not like waiting around all fucking night. Yeah, basically. So. Yeah, but yeah,
as long as you can then pause it and just watch the game. I'm sure people understand.
I think most people there will probably want to do the same, I would guess, but we'll see. If they don't, then I might forfeit a couple turns. I don't care. It ain't my league.
That's the risky take. Scheduling what? A doubleheader on a playoff week where the Packers are the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, when he asked me too, I was like, I hope the Packers play on Saturday. Hope the Packers play on Saturday. The schedule came out, it's like Sunday at 3:30. I'm like, damn it, fuck. Didn't quite make it. But yeah. So yeah, that'll be my weekend. Watching some football on Saturday and shooting a whole bunch of darts on Sunday.
Watching Saturday? At your place?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. If I do, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know. I don't think we can have anything going on. We finally have our whole like holiday
plays on Saturday
going.
Steelers Ravens play Saturday. Is it the AFC on Saturday? Is that what they're doing?
Isn't it AFC NFC and then AFC NFC?
Maybe it is. I think it was Steelers Ravens around Saturday, but I don't know who else is playing. Well, it's got to be. Oh, there's three games each day.
Oh, yeah, because we got the wild card. We got the seventh seed now. Saturday, Steelers Ravens, Chargers Texans. Just two games. Oh, there's a Monday night game. That's what they're.
Oh, they're still doing a Monday night. Okay.
Yeah, two Saturday games will be the AFC.
Okay.
The Steelers Ravens should be fun just because of the whole rivalry and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's a good game.
That's a cool game. But yeah, I guess that's, we'll wrap her up there. We'll end it as we always do with the Jameis Winston quote of the week.
String beans are green beans that look like strings that happen to be beans.